You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast Weekly with Eddie Greer and Alex Aiden. Welcome on campus to the Purple Project Podcast. On the menu, this podcast is all about the latest developments in Kansas State athletics. From football to basketball and everything else in between the college town of the Little Apple, it's the Purple Project Podcast. And now your host, Eddie Greer III.
What up, K-State Nation? Eddie Greer, your host, back again for another weekly edition of the Purple Project Podcast Weekly, home to your Big 12 football champions right here at Kansas, K-State Wildcats, all things K-State coming at you already on the first half a week, you want to call it, of February as we're sitting here recording this podcast here, February 2nd, 2023. Already the month of February in this new month, of course. Meet myself and my co-host Alex in both Kansas State alums and Wildcat 91.9 alums, part of the student radio station over there and on campus at K-State. And for those of you tuning in for, new for the first time, welcome on board to the podcast, All Things K-State, wherever you find your podcast. We are on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google, iHeartRadio, and a few more podcasting platforms as well out there as well. So we definitely thank you for your support and for those who have been listening to us since the beginning of the school year or from the beginning of the Purple Project Podcast, we thank you as well. So we got another jam-packed edition of this Purple Project Podcast, episode 143 this week of the podcast. Bringing on my co-host right off the bat, doesn't live here in Manhattan, Kansas, lives all the way out on the west side, west coast, United States, San Diego, California, none other than Alex Aiden. Alex, other than phone issues, what's up?
Not much, Eddie, not much. I'm currently moving my cat because she is in a very inconvenient spot in my desk area, so that's what I'm currently doing. But now that I'm done with that and I'm talking to you, All is good with me, Eddie. I'm doing better than the men's basketball team did on Tuesday night. So,
I am
doing better than them. They were not good. They were not good. Not good. Not good. Not good at Lawrence. Per the huge. You know, that's just per the huge when you go into Al Fieldhouse. And I heard your daily on it, and I agree with you. They only lost by 12. It just felt like they lost by 20 when you watched the game. And very well could have lost by 20. Well, that very well could have also been a close game as well, but either way, they didn't play well, and then the women's team, who had lost like a gazillion out of a gazillion one, somehow beat Iowa State. So, you know, it just, you know, things are a little wonky. So, you know, that's good for them, coming off of a really disappointing performance against KU over the weekend. Granted, I will admittedly say I did not see any of that because I was consumed by the AFC Championship. So, I'll be honest, I didn't catch a minute of it, but it looked like I didn't miss a lot because the power went out apparently in Allen Fieldhouse.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did.
With those amazing facilities that they got, you know, they got the porta potties, they got the lights going out, they've got scoreboards falling down and hitting basketball players in the head. And then they had an issue with the baseball stadium last year, 82, and I can't remember what it was. There was an issue, I can't remember what the problem was, but there was an issue with their baseball stadium. So, you know, Jerome Tang says we should love them and not hate them, but their stuff is crap. They should fix it. They should fix their facilities. You know, get the smell of stench, like that stench urine smell out of Allen Fieldhouse, and all will be good. So, I'm coming a little fiery towards KU today, but
yeah, you are. Yep.
That's okay. All is good, Eddie, because K-State is still one game out of first place in men's basketball in the Big 12, playing the lone team in first place this weekend at home, so they have a chance to jump right back into first place, and so they're doing well. The football team, so their schedule was released, so I will talk about that a little bit. As they will try to defend their Big 12 championship. And things are going well. The Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl, so I will not complain. I will not complain. Couldn't be going much better in the sports world for me, so excited to get into it.
Yeah, and we'll just start right there. And obviously, taking a look, at the rest of the athletics, track and field wrapped up their little invitation, three-day invitational, down at Texas Tech last weekend. And now they get set here. Now I have to change my screen over to the weekly schedule here for athletics here. They're getting ready for the New Mexico Collegiate this weekend, two-day event, sending Cliff Rovetto, the director of track and field operations, is sending part of their team over New Mexico. So they're going to be competing over there starting tomorrow and Saturday. And then tennis team, they didn't fare too well either last weekend against Power 5 competition. As head coach of the women's tennis team, Jordan Smith, said they did not win any games over there on the west side. They were in your area, California. Over there competing, but they got beat by Stanford and got swept by Arkansas there. So they'll turn things around against Denver on Saturday afternoon. And then, of course, they're also going to be playing Iowa coming up as well. So trying to get off Snide here at home. Both of those matches are at home for a women's tennis team. And then, of course, men taking on Texas. Both teams, we'll start there. For the men's basketball team, Alex, like you said, Texas coming in here, same record as K-State overall, and they are standing alone in the Big 12 standings right now. Texas 7-2, all alone by a game. K-State a game back with three other teams there as well. But yeah, if you have not checked out the latest postcast, which have been pretty popular, as of late, definitely check it out for sure. I love doing those, and people, obviously, a lot of people are joining those as well. So definitely check that out as well. Yeah, I definitely thought we lost more than that for sure. Definitely has become a norm. I don't like it. Just like John Kurtz said on this podcast, definitely don't like it. It's become way too norm, and it's a mental game. We talked about mental. With the women's basketball team as of late, they've been in that sluggish funk before that upset victory last night against Iowa State. We'll touch on that a little bit. But it's a mental game for K-State. Well, no matter who the coach is over there, here, whether it's Bruce Weber, Frank Martin. Hey, now I wasn't here in 06. Apparently last time we beat KU in Outfield House. I have not seen, since I stepped foot in the state of Kansas, particularly Manhattan, have not seen any Wildcat basketball team step in to Outfield House and play well. For the exception, probably, of obviously the Bruce Weber teams that should have won one of those two games. Obviously, not going to go down that road again. Not going to do it. not going to do it. But, it seems like it's a mental game. And it seems like when we go in that place, the House of Horrors, as I call it, we play stupid basketball, it seems like. And obviously the officials don't help. And Tang, I like the technical that Tang got there to try to get his team on the right foot there. But yeah, there is we saw against TCU a couple weeks ago in a row that they didn't play well. But Lawrence back on Tuesday night, they're all out of sorts, in my opinion. There.
Oh my God.
Missing a lot of layups that they usually could get. Just Noel throwing up turnovers, and really that stretch right there before halftime where we were only trailing less than 10 points there. That was ball game right there, in my opinion. There, you had an opportunity to go in half at least trailing less than 10 points, trailing by what was it, 12 points at halftime, something like that. So. Yep. Very, very bad performance across the board, and now you're coming home to a team where that's playing good, very good basketball in Texas. Good thing for K-State, we're unbeaten. Can it stay that way? We're entering a stretch where now, obviously, we haven't talked about Florida since the last time we've been on here. We took care of Florida. The atmosphere, I was in Bramlage last Saturday. The atmosphere, oh man, it felt very, very, very good to hear a packed house. In Bramlage again, the crowd, the students were amazing last weekend. Florida needed that win. You got that win. Check that one. And then, of course, your usual loss on the road to KU. Now you have to protect, like I tweeted out earlier this week, your home court against two ranked opponents. Texas coming in number 10. And when the rankings change, TCU comes calling on this upcoming Tuesday as well. So big two-game stretch coming up for the basketball team.
A huge two-game stretch, Eddie, coming up for them. And I apologize. I don't know what is up to Ella. Usually she's taking a nap during these podcasts, but for some reason she's all worked up. I mean, she's kind of got the wiggles a little bit. So apologies if I get veered off by a cat doing something wrong. But this is a big stretch coming up against these two Texas teams, Texas and TCU. And it's kind of interesting the way you look at their schedule. And you mentioned this also, I believe, in one of your postcasts, but maybe it was a 3 mile. I don't know where it was. Someone mentioned, maybe it was Power Cat Game Day. I don't know what it was, but somewhere they mentioned, once K-State played KU, they now had the road games knocked out for all of the, top five teams in the Big 12. Because there's kind of like you've got like the six teams that are really good, and there's like a little bit of a drop down for the bottom four. They're like, well, you got the top five road games knocked out, and then, the rest are at home. And that is indeed true. But with that said, those aren't easy games either. Look what happened to Iowa State against Oklahoma State. Look at what happened to Iowa State against Texas Tech. look around the Big 12 and see what's happening. Look what West Virginia did to, I believe it was, well, I can't remember who it was. West Virginia got somebody as well. So maybe it was TCU. I think it was TCU at full strength that they got. So by nine. So, there's no easy games. But it's a big stretch for K-State and Texas and TCU at home because, number one, they're at home. That's for starters. But number two, once you get those two games out of the way here Saturday and Tuesday, then the final, you only have two more games left on the schedule the rest of the year against those top five teams outside of you, and they're Iowa State and Baylor at home. So it is.
Yeah.
So, I don't want to say things loosen up because you still have to go to Texas Tech, to Oklahoma, to Oklahoma State, to West Virginia. Like, these are tough places to win. These are tough places to win. And I don't expect K-State to go to all those places to win. But the point is, you're not going to Iowa State, to Texas, to Baylor, to KU. Like, you're not quite going through that gauntlet. So it'll be interesting to see the way that goes. But jumping back to the KU game, before kind of preview Texas here, what happens every year, Eddie, is that they get sped up in that building. The juices get flowing. KU plays really well, and get up for K-State, and K-State just everything just speeds up for them, and it's tough. It's tough. I think part of it is because it seems like KU is typically pretty focused when K-State enters that building, and you typically get a good K-State team. I thought it was John Kurtz who made the point that the two Bruce Weber teams that actually were able to make it a game were kind of meh teams. Maybe because, KU was a little more meh about those games, but whenever K-State has a good team, you look at the Jacob Pullen teams, you look at the Michael Beasley teams, you look at the Ronnie Magruder teams, like those teams never compete. Like they never even competed. The team that won the Big 12 with Barry, Cam, Dean, like those teams never even competed. I mean, they all got blown out in Allen Fieldhouse. And then this team, that was ranked in the top 10, went to Allen Fieldhouse, and I'm not gonna say they got blown out, but it wasn't a close game. So it was not a, sure, it was competitive at times, but it wasn't a close game. It wasn't like Iowa State a week ago. So, you just get sped up and you make some silly mistakes. And Eddie, I think that part of that was why you saw so many missed shots at the rim. Again, I think it's getting sped up, expecting contact, playing a little intimidated. A little timid. That's what I'm gonna say. Playing a little timid around there, maybe expecting contact or not getting the contact, and then just missing some bunnies and You know, again, you can't do that. You can't shoot 33%. I mean, if they shot 33%. You're not going to go shoot 33% and Allen Fieldhouse have a chance to win. What's crazy is they shot 33% and still scored 78 points. That's what's crazy. But you're not going to – that's never going to be a formula for success. I mean, it's just not. That's just not going to happen. So, K-State didn't play well. You mentioned it. They were out of sync all night long, which is ironic because I felt like they were kind of out of sync for a good chunk of that Iowa State game the week prior. They just made more shots in the Iowa State game. I think they shot 50-some percent of the field, whereas against KU they shot, 33%. So that kind of kept them more in that Iowa State game. And defensively they were better, a little better against Iowa State. I'm not going to say a lot better, a little better against Iowa State. They were dog crap on defense against KU. Let's just call it what it is. KU can get whatever they wanted, in my opinion. I mean, you got to give KU credit. KU moved the ball really well. The ball never stuck anywhere, but defensively, I think Jay Bill has said it, and I agree with it, and I felt the same way. K-State just, they gave too much space. KU just had too much space offensively in everything that they did, you know, so they're out there on the court, and K-State is just giving them too much space, too much cushion, and just making KU's too comfortable. Offensively, and so that was a glaring thing. 10 turnovers in the first half was a glaring thing, and I tweeted Eddie, and this is the truth, and this it's less about KU for me, and it's just more about concerns with the team. You know, I have really enjoyed the season, and this team has been really a joy to watch. And an amazing breath of fresh air from the past few seasons that we've had.
Here comes
and
the butt,
I think
though.
This team, I think this team has a legitimate shot at winning a share of a Big 12 title. I don't think they would win it outright. I think they've got a shot at getting a share, potentially, depending on how things break here on the back half of the schedule. We're about 50% through. But
there was a but.
This team is not going anywhere with the current issues that they have. And I'm 100% for Jerome Tang being positive, saying, you know, he's not going to look at the negatives, and all these things. Not saying he's not going to look at the negatives, but, like, what good does it do being negative, you know, just being positive, want to win the day? 100% agree with that, 100% fine with that. I like that philosophy. But the truth of the matter is, as Ella is burrowing. I don't know what she's doing right now. She's like burrowing through my sheets or something. I can't tell. She's like,
Ella's on the move,
anyway,
folks. We're going to
anyway,
pull a podcast.
She's trying to get my attention. That's what she's trying to do. She just want me to get this butt out. But they're not going to go anywhere if they don't address. I'm not saying they're not addressing. I know that's not the right word. If they don't fix the turnover issues and the defensive issues, they turn the ball over at way too high of a clip. And you cannot give good teams that many opportunities for second chance points. It killed them against Iowa State. It killed them against KU. It killed them against TCU. Killed them in the last three games, road games they had. When you're playing NCAA tournament games, Eddie, you don't play them at home. You don't play them at home. So if you can't hold on to the basketball on the road, then what are you going to do in the NCAA tournament? Because this team can hold on to the basketball. What did they do against Butler when they went to Butler earlier this year? They turned the ball over. They really struggled turning the ball over away, taking care of the ball away from Braylon. And they even had to struggle at Braylon. And it's been an issue throughout the season. So I understand they like three in the second half. That was an improvement. That was encouraging. I'm hoping they can build off of that. But 10 in the first half is just horrible. And that was the difference in the game. KU is plus 10 and points off turnovers, and they're up by 12 at halftime. I mean, you know, that's your problem. I mean, that's your biggest problem right there. And then defensively, K-State's got athletes to defend, but they're just not a very good defensive basketball team, in my opinion. To be 100% honest, worst defensive team that I thought they would be. Granted, they're part of that because they're a better offensive team and they play at a quicker pace, but defensively, they rely, Eddie, a lot on kind of their size and their athleticism, but you see them and they're late a lot of the times, rotating over on assignments, you know, a lot of times they're struggling to maybe get a, you know, switch, you know, if they're switching and there's some sort of breakdown and someone gets an open look or someone gets to the basket uncontested and teams get easy buckets. You know, we just see that too often. And we already know about the rebounding issue. You having Gasan back, I think, is a huge help. Hopefully that alleviates part of the rebounding problem. That is still a concern for me. But I'm not going to put it up as the level at the level of defense turnovers, though, because they have got to get better on the defensive side of the ball, and they have got to find a way to cut down on turnovers. Because if you can't fix those problems, and if you can't continue to work on the rebounding thing, that needs to continue to be a focus. You're not going to win it in March. You just aren't, and that's just the reality of it. You know, so. You know, K-State needs to get better in those areas, and we'll see what they do. But that's a concern. And again, the other concern, Eddie, is they had a great week again in Texas, right? They went to Texas and they pulled the upset on the Longhorns. They went to Waco and they pulled the upset on Baylor. That was a great week. It was a fantastic week. K-State has not won another road game this entire season. Those are the two road games they've won the whole year. They literally don't have another one. So that is beginning to concern me, the fact that the last three times they've gone on the road, granted, let's keep in mind that they played TCU, Iowa State, KU, three tough places to play, three good teams. Last three times they went on the road, Eddie, they didn't play very well in any of those three games. They were completely out of sync against TCU. They looked like crap in that game. They looked better in Iowa State. They didn't play their best basketball, but they looked better in that game. And then KU, they looked out of sync again. And they just seem to be struggling to get in a rhythm on the road. And we saw what they did against Baylor. Against Butler. They lost by 12 against Butler. Granted, that was a long time ago. You can't blame a lot from it, but they were out of sync that whole game as well. So, I'm a little concerned about them on the road, Eddie. I know they had a great week in Texas. But they were hot, man. They were cooking. They scored 100 points in both those games. I mean, you know, if it weren't for that, well, how many points did they give up? They gave up 103 to Texas and, like, almost 100 to Baylor. So, I mean, that just wasn't – I don't want to say it was an outlier, but they were cooking that week. And so that's why the road trip stuff is going to be really interesting, to see them going on the road against, like, Oklahoma and Texas Tech. Like, what does K-State do with those types of games? So I'm, like, really intrigued to see – what happens there, because they just haven't been a good road team since that Texas trip, and we're interesting. It will be interesting to see that. But to quickly pivot and preview the just the Texas thing, Texas TCU. It's a big stretch, Eddie, because if you go 2-0 in this Texas TCU stretch, you put yourself in first place, and with in the Big 12 with 7 games left, the only 2 ranked games left on your schedule are Iowa State and Baylor, and they're both at home. So you put yourself in like a really, really good position. You lose both those games, Eddie, you find yourself at 6th, you know, 6th place in the Big 12, and you're just a middle pack team at that point that is free, you know. You're still in the Big 12 race, but you're probably 2 or 3 games out. And at that point, you know, you're probably just playing more for like an NCAA tourney, you know, just trying to get good position for the NCAA tournament. So this is a huge, huge week for them, because this really sets them up. This sets them up for kind of how the second half of the season is going to go. You have 2 games at home, and you take care of them. It would appear TCU won't have Mike Miles when you play them. You got to take advantage of that. You got TCU at home without their best player. You've got to take advantage of that. Teams that are ranked in the top 10 in the country, take care of that. You know, TCU's a good team, but they find a way. So, that's going to be a big one. And then you mentioned Texas. Texas is cooking right now. They're 18-4 as well, just like K-State. They're 7-2 in conference play, but Texas struggled on the road. They lost by double digits against Iowa State. They have played a nail biter in Norman. I believe both of their losses are on the road in Big 12 play this year, and you know, this is going to the times that they've been kind of exposed, Eddie, to those types of environments like Bramlage. They've lost. So Casey's got an opportunity. They got an opportunity to bounce back and bounce back quick against a really good Texas team. And a team that I think K-State actually matched up pretty well against. And so, you know, we'll see what happens there. I personally kind of feel like K-State will bounce back and get the win against Texas. I think they'll be focused coming off that KU game. And I think Texas, it's going to be, you know, tough coming on the road and into Bramlage. But it'll be interesting to see what happens there. And it's just a big week for them because that really, those are just two games that really can determine the trajectory of kind of what your basketball season looks like.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast.
Tech-ranked Texas has won the last four out of their six games, coming in to a big matchup. The Stripeout game, oh, by the way, will be in Bramlage against Texas on Saturday afternoon. Eddie Greer, Alex Aiden, the Purple Project Podcast, episode 143. You mentioned road struggles. I don't know what it is about that, but both teams, talking about K-State now, K-State men's and women's basketball, K-State women haven't had a win on the road yet. And they got to go to Lubbock this weekend. It's like Texas Tech, which blew them out of the water back home. We'll get to them here in a few minutes. But, yeah, back to the men. Last time they played Texas, 64 points combined. Marquise Noel, Keontae Johnson. And as you mentioned, though, you brought up K-State put up over 100 points against Texas, and Texas had 100 points as well. So you put, if some of you guys, K-State Nation, are betting people, how much would you put on it if K-State were to go over 100, over triple digits again? Probably not a good chance that's not going to happen in this game. I'll be shocked if it does, but I don't think that's going to happen in this game here. Again, you're at home. Texas has won four of his last six. They lost on the road to Iowa State. I know that's one of their losses on the road. And, of course, they lost their they come off the Big 12 SEC Challenge loss to Tennessee.
Yeah, they did not play well.
That was also on the road, too. They didn't play well. So, K-State, this is your opportunity to jump on them at home. Yes, Texas has been playing good basketball, and they're staying at the top for a reason. Despite their original head coach having issues off the field, we're not going to touch on that. But he had off field issues, got kicked off the team. But since then, Texas have turned it up a notch. So yeah, I think K-State will be ready to play in this game. And going back on the road, trouble issues for both squads of K-State, at least the men have a couple wins. But yeah, that's an interesting thought. Didn't really think about that till you brought it up there. After that brutal, great stretch of games there against upsetting Texas, while K-State was not ranked at that time.
Yeah.
Neither were them when we went to Baylor or Waco. So now we're ranked, and since then, two of those three matches on the road, they haven't played very well. TCU, that's not really, in my opinion, that they ain't really home court advantage. That's just a lot of empty seats over there down there. They didn't play very well. They played very sloppy in that game. But the people they had in there for TCU, TCU hyped them up pretty good. So they were pretty loud for what it was worth over there, even though it was not really a packed house like it was, I believe, for Kansas, not mistaken there. But yeah, so they have not won a road game. So that's going to be really intriguing when we get to those road games with West Virginia. We know West Virginia is going to be tough up there. Texas Tech, last year, we know what happened last year down there. Texas Tech, one of the more hostile environments. And I called it. I said it on one of the recaps last year. Texas Tech, that was one of the more hostile environments in the Big 12, hands down.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be interesting there. And we saw what they did to Iowa State down there recently. So they finally get off the goose egg off the board in the Big 12. So that's not going to be an easy task down there. And like the Three Mall Pod talked about, I think it was John that mentioned, we got a target on our backs now. We were ranked that especially high. So we got a target on our back now. So we got Oklahoma. We haven't even played OU yet. We still got to go to them. West Virginia. Oklahoma State. Yeah, we still got to go to Stillwater as well. So yeah, that's our intriguing stretch of games. That's going to be really intriguing games down there when it gets to it. But yeah, TCU is going to be possibly without Mike Miles. You mentioned Alex there. Yeah. But you got to stop.
And maybe Eddie Lampkin. They might not have Lampkin. I don't know if Lampkin will be back either.
I didn't know that. But I was just about to mention.
He's been out with his ankle.
Yeah, I was just about to mention Eddie Lampkin, who had a field day against K-State down there in Fort Worth as well. So, yeah, if they are both out, yeah, you're right. We have to.
You got to get that game Tuesday. Yeah, I think you got to get that. I think it would be a bit of a, I don't want to say letdown, a bit of a disappointment, I think, if you lose that game to TCU on Tuesday with probably no Mike Miles, maybe no Eddie Lampkin. You're there with other two best players. You're at home. We saw what they did against Mississippi State when they lost those two. They didn't look very good. Look, TCU's an experienced team. They've got a lot of experience, a lot of older players, and it's more than just Mike Miles and Eddie Lampkin. But, you know, if you've got them out there, you've got to take advantage of that. And if Lampkin's back, like, how effective is he? You know, or if Mike Miles is back, how effective is he? It's hard to see them being 100% with ankle injuries and knee injuries, because it's an ankle for Lampkin, knee for Mike Miles, and so... It's like, man, it's just hard to see that. And seeing them both get hurt, because I saw both of them. Those were not just, like, tweaks, you know? I mean, Lampkin, like, he rolled that ankle, and Mike Miles is lucky it was just a hyperextended knee, because that didn't look, it looked like it could have been more when you saw the play. So, that's a game I think you need to get. And then the Texas game is a little, that's a little trickier because Texas is at full strength and playing really well. That's just going to be a really, really tough game. But, you know, as we mentioned, they lost by double figures at Tennessee. They lost by double figures at Iowa State. And then they won by 1 point at Oklahoma. You can get them, Mike. You can get them. They're not invincible. And that's also, I think another thing that's going to be intriguing, Eddie, is kind of just put a bow on it. Looking at the other teams, right, who are in this race, in this 6-team rested race that we've got in the back half of the Big 12, where two games separate 6 teams, the K-State's probably got the easiest schedule. And that's what's interesting and crazy. I mean, if you look at Texas, their next two games are K-State and KU. That's not easy. And then they end their schedule against Iowa State, Baylor, TCU, and KU. And two of those four are on the road. I mean, they got 6 ranked games still left on their schedule. Against six games against top 15 teams. So I mean, that's brutal. You know, that's brutal. And I mean, when you look at KU, who is, you know, on K-State's spot, they have something similar. They haven't played Texas yet, so they still have Texas twice. So someone's got to win those games, right? They got to go to Ames still. And they still got to play Baylor. So, I mean, they've got probably a more difficult schedule. And they still have to go to TCU. As well, and that's later in the season, so they'll probably have Mike Miles and Eddie Lampkin back. And we saw what TCU did in Lawrence, winning by 23. So KU's got a more difficult schedule. And if you really kind of look through, that's where it's like, you know, K-State's got an opportunity. If they can put themselves in a position this week where they're in like a – after these two games against Texas and TCU, they're tied for first place or in sole possession of first place, but I would probably be more likely they'd be tied for first place. If they're tied or in some form of first place going into this next weekend at Tech, then things look really interesting there. But again, we talk about K-State. They finish, you know, they have 4 of their 7 are on the road, and yes, none of them they're the bottom 4 teams in the Big 12. But, you know, K-State hasn't shown us a ton of confidence they can go win on the road. Granted, they've been playing top 15 teams on the road. That's all they've really been playing. So, I don't know, Eddie. It's just going to be really interesting to see the way that this breaks out the second half of the basketball season, Big 12 season, I should say. But how about this? Can I just say, how nice is it to be able to have this discussion? Because at this time, at this time last year, we're like, okay, K-State just lost on the road to Ole Miss. You know, they're sitting below 500. But can they put themselves in a position to possibly be a bubble team if they win this game and this game? When there is no way they can be a bubble team. Like, this is a breath of fresh air. To be in a spot where you still have the best overall record of the Big 12. You're one game off of having the best record in Big 12 conference play and ranked in the top 10. Which, newsflash to everybody, if K-State beats Texas, they'll still be in the top 10, even though they lost to KU. If you do that, it's just a breath of fresh air to be able to have these conversations about the Big 12 race and K-State basketball and all these things. So, they've got warts, right? They've got weaknesses. But what team doesn't? You know, what team doesn't? You know, and you want to look at a silver lining through it all. I think K-State matches up pretty well against KU. I thought K-State didn't play well. They looked out of sync, and they stayed within striking distance almost the entire night. They never came close to, like, landing a punch, but the doors never got completely blown off of them. There were times they got down, like, 15, 16, and they came back and would get it to around 10, or maybe they would just get it under 10. In the first half, they were getting it to 4 or 5, and then it would get extended to 10, and they get it back to, like, 6. And I mean, they kept fighting, and I will give them that. And it was not their night, and they were still hanging around in Allen Fieldhouse in a tough environment. And if K-State played KU in Kansas City, I would feel pretty good about that matchup, because I think that KU, you know, they don't have an Eddie Lampkin down low to really expose what K-State's kind of issues are. Kind of the way that KU is built, they just, Jalen Wilson's great, Grady Dick's great, but it seems like K-State was able to slow down Wilson better in the second game. They kind of figured that out. They've proven that they can slow down Grady Dick, and you take those two guys out, you feel relatively comfortable against the other guys there too, and K-State's proven they can score on KU. You know, they only shot 33%, but they got open looks. I think they talked about that in the 3-month pod too. Marquise got good looks; they just weren't falling. You know, sometimes that happens. You know, he got a lot of good threes. K-State went they shot like 35% at the rim, so like they were getting looks at the rim; they were just popping out. They missed like 10 layups or something. It was a huge number. So K-State got looks. K-State can score points against KU. They match up well against KU. They match up pretty well against Texas. Honestly, I feel pretty confident about them against Iowa State as well. I mean, you know, looking at silver linings, I think K-State matches up pretty well against these teams. They've got a relatively favorable schedule, even though there's some road games. So we'll see the way it goes. But there's definitely a silver lining in there. And there's definitely a lot of things to be optimistic about. And Eddie, if they go out and they win Saturday, we're waking up Sunday feeling really damn good about this team.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast Weekly with Eddie Greer and Alex Aiden.
The Purple Project Podcast, episode 143. Alex Aiden, co-host, Eddie Greer, goes here for another weekly edition. Yeah, so we'll see what happens on Saturday, 3 o'clock. Just a little after 3 o'clock at Bramlage Coliseum, the Stripeout game, 10th ranked Texas, coming here to Manhattan to take on 7th ranked Kansas State. They're in a good position. And yes, to answer your question real quick before we move on here, because we still have quite a bit to chat about. Yeah, definitely feels good from the last couple of years to be chatting about possibility of sharing a Big 12 title. Or better than that possibility, and getting maybe possibly a good seed in the NCAA tournament. So still all those yet to be decided at due time. But yeah, definitely a complete 180 than it has been for K-State basketball in a couple years since the Purple Project podcast started. So definitely feel good about that. Baseball. We have not chatted about baseball in quite a while on this, on the podcast. Yes, it is. And depending on how the schedule goes for the next weekly, so we were supposed to have a special guest on for this week's show, but that had to be moved. So depending on that, we could have either we could have either one or two shows next week of the Pro Project Podcast weekly, depending on where the special guest episode goes, K-State Nation. So stay tuned for that, including you, Alex, as well. So I'll keep you posted on that. But there'll be a Thursday show, definitely. So there could be an extra show next week. When we do get to it, we will talk about the schedule for the baseball. Obviously, the football schedule has been a lot talked about, obviously, and we'll talk about that a lot more throughout the spring semester and going into the summer as well. We'll definitely touch in on that. That's one of our favorite episodes of the year, obviously, as you K-State Nation know by now. So we'll definitely hit on that, but baseball's right around the corner. In 2 weeks, they'll be going on the road to open up their schedule. Head manager Pete Hughes back at it again for this K-State baseball team, taking on Stephen F. Austin for a four-game set to open up the season, and they will be home. Their home opener won't be till March 3rd against Army. So already intriguing matchup right there. And they kind of also announced as well, I mentioned this on a past daily, so go check that out for more information, but I wanted to bring up here on Friday, not this Friday, obviously, but next Friday, February 10th, will be the Bat Cash Bash going down starting at 6:30 at the Shamrock Zone South. That's south of the Bill Snyder Football Stadium Complex. So that same zone where we sat, me and the fam sat for majority of the home games this year. So that will kick off all the baseball festivities there as well. So for more information on that, you can go find that in the Pearl Project Podcast archives, folks. It's titled Bat Cash Bash for more info on that. Of course, tickets are on sale right now. They went on sale over the weekend. So definitely, K-State baseball is around the corner. They finished 500 last year, looking to do a little bit better this year. They got some good pieces coming back now. Nick Goodwin, shortstop, who was voted recently preseason All Big 12. That's also a daily that I did as well. So definitely, K-State baseball fanatics out there, definitely go check those out. Get ready for the baseball season, even though, yes, basketball is still full swing with K-State in contention for a Big 12, a shot at a share of the Big 12 title, maybe better, like I said a few moments ago. So, yeah, but baseball, Alex, right around the corner, telling you.
Yeah, you know, what I'm expecting is a Big 12 championship baseball this year. So, no pressure. No pressure, Pete Hughes. It's like 2012 all over again. Football won it. Basketball's going to win it. Baseball's got to win it. We gotta have a 2012 repeat, Eddie. We gotta have a 2012 repeat of winning the Big 12 championship in all major sports. boy, what a year that was, 2012. What a
Big
12
was.
Baseball, football, basketball. That was something else. We have not talked a lot about the baseball team yet for this season. We obviously did last year. But it's a big season. It's a really, really big year for Pete Hughes in particular. You know, coming off of really a pretty disappointing season. I have sugarcoated. I mean, it really was. I mean, you know, it was. They made their annual run, right, at the Big 12 tournament. They've done that the last 2 years now. But they were kind of hot and cold, hit and miss last year. They had their moments where they were good, but then they would do something to beat themselves. They were really bad defensively. They really struggled at times pitching. They walked a ton of guys. I mean, there was a bunch of, like, mental errors, which I think was part of what made it so frustrating was the fact that K-State just kind of shot themselves in the foot in a bunch of the games last year that they lost. So I think one thing I'm looking for going into this season, Eddie, is whether or not they cleaned that stuff up. And that's not as much about, you know, your talent, right? That's about coaching, you know, coaching these players up, coaching them up to be disciplined at the plate, to do good fundamentally in the field, for the pitchers to be consistent and to be able to hit strike zone. These are the types of things that if KK could just simply clean these things up with a lot of the guys that they have coming back, you can have a really nice season. I was joking about the Big 12 about the Big 12 championship. I don't think that's going to happen.
now they clean that stuff up.
Hey man, maybe they surprised me and then they won the Big 12. But what I think what you want is, we talked about this last year, you know, K-State finished in the bottom half of the Big 12, At some point, you got to make that jump up out of the bottom half of the Big 12. And so, I think for me, I'd like to see K-State finish in the top five. Just kind of giving you an overview of what I'm thinking. I'd like to see it finish in the top five in the Big 12. I think that Iowa State doesn't have a baseball team.
Right, yeah.
And I believe in the baseball, the preseason rankings was K-State was like sixth, seventh. They were somewhere around there. I saw them, and they were not at five. They were not all the way down at nine. Because remember, there's only nine. Because Iowa State doesn't have a baseball team. But I would like to see them outperform those expectations by a little bit, Eddie. I really would. And I think that the opportunity is there. And I think Pete Hughes needs to do it, or else I think he's really on the hot seat. And one thing we've learned from Gene is that Gene is not going to just sit around and accept losing. You know, Bill Snyder retired, but was kind of forced into retired when things were kind of falling apart there. Bruce resigned because he was pretty much forced to resign. And then Susie Fritz, Susie Fritz, as much as she was heralded for what she'd done on the volleyball team, she hadn't won in a couple years. And what did they do? They moved on. That's, Gene is not afraid to do that. So yeah, Pete Hughes may have been like his guy, his hire, and I get that. I think Pete Hughes was his hire. I can't remember. I thought Pete Hughes might have been his first hire.
It was his first hire.
So I know it's his first hire. So like we haven't seen that kind of dichotomy, but I don't think that you would be afraid to do it. I think that Gene wants to win. I really do. I get that vibe from Gene. And so this is a big season for the Cats. You look at their schedule just like briefly. I think it's a schedule that honestly is pretty favorable for them. Granted, I said that women's basketball team, they're kind of struggling. They didn't get a win just now. But I mean, you look at it, you know, Stephen F. Austin and Lamar on the road, you know, those are series that are winnable. Not easy, but they're winnable. They do play number one LSU, so that will be challenging, to say the least. And they do also play Iowa in that same tournament, so that will also be challenging. But once you come out of that, you go to Omaha, you come home, you got a couple against Army, you got one against Stonehill in there. Those should be winnable ones. You got Youngstown State, that's winnable. And then you've kind of got some mixed in. You got St. Thomas that's sprinkled in the middle of play, Air Force sprinkled in the middle of play, and you got, UC Irvine, UC Riverside kind of sprinkled in the middle of conference play. So, I mean, they've got some winnable conference games kind of scheduled in there. And if you look at the way the Big 12 schedule breaks, they don't play their tough opponents until really late in the year. So, they open... they open against Baylor, which Baylor on the road, that's not easy, but it's not easy by any stretch of the imagination, but Baylor, they're not ranked. And then you come home against Oklahoma, which again, not easy, but Oklahoma also not ranked. And then you get West Virginia at home, and that's going to be a series that, K-State should have a chance to potentially win. They got to go to Texas, it's always hard. But then you go to KU, and there's Pitt finished last, I believe, in the Big 12 this year. So, I mean, and you get your California road trip. Then things tighten up because you've got Texas Tech, who's ranked. And then you got Oklahoma State on the road, who's ranked, and then you got TCU, who's ranked. So you got the three ranked teams in the Big 12 in the preseason as your last three series of the year. That can be good or that can be bad. I'm not exactly sure. All I know is that the last couple years, Eddie, K-State has had a beginning schedule that looks like that, where you're playing number 9, number 15, and number 24 to begin, and then K-State wins like 2 out of their first 9 games, and they're like 2-7 to begin Big 12 play, and it's like, well, okay, great. That's a really, excuse my language, that's a really shitty start to the season. What are they going to do now? Like, come on, it sucks, come on. So, it's flipped, the roles are reversed, and what are they, what can they do with that? With a non-con that's somewhat favorable, maybe you can get some wins, string some wins together in the non-con. You have non-con games that are sprinkled out throughout your conference play that can keep that momentum going if you do go on any sort of losing streaks. And then with Big 12 play, you've got a shot to maybe be 500, after 2-3 series instead of sitting at 6 games below 500 in Big 12 play because you've just played the gauntlet right out of the bat. So, that's something I'm interested to see, Eddie. I really am. And I think another thing that is interesting is that two of the three teams, I kind of look at Texas Tech, TCU, and Oklahoma State as kind of the top tier this year in baseball. Could be wrong. Could absolutely be wrong. That's kind of how I view it early projections. Two of those three series are at home, and we know that K-State's a good team at home. We've seen them win series against top 10 teams at home, even when K-State's not great. K-State is horrible on the road, and this is in the past. I shouldn't say this year. In the past, K-State baseball has been horrible on the road, but they've done work at home, Eddie. They you get them in Toyton, they're tough to beat in Toyton. So I think that's a big thing. They get two of those three series at home as well. So. It'll be interesting to see Eddie when the season starts here in mid-February. As they, like every year, they're going to begin in warm weather, and then they'll work their way back to Manhattan a little later.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So again, Alex goes in depth with the schedule,
I can go more in depth.
No.
That was a summary. You want in depth? I can give you in depth.
No. We're saving that for next week. So Wildcats do return the Batcats. Do return 19 student athletes from the roster that went before we transitioned to women's basketball here to close out this podcast. The Batcats do return 19 student athletes from last year's team that went 529-29 with their, like Alex talked about, usual run in the Big 12 tournament there. We got ended in the semifinals. So I don't know what it is about the Big 12 championship or tournament that gets K-State pumped up for it, but they sure as hell know how to play well in it for sure. Now they can play their entire season like that, it'll be a different story, but we'll find out for sure. But we'll chat more about K-State baseball next week on the podcast, definitely for sure. We're looking forward to talk about more in depth with the baseball system for sure. Alex already touched on some of those key matchups there for K-State baseball there. Moving back to the basketball court last night, as we're sitting here recording this podcast on Thursday, February 2nd, 2023, women's basketball team have been on a struggle bus as of recently, and then last night, brand much magic happened once again as K-State, for the second time in the season, takes down a top 15 opponent. Postcast actually is coming out here in just a little bit, actually. My postcast on this matchup here that I recorded earlier this evening. So that will be coming out here shortly. So you'll be hearing me more about that. But yeah, on a more summary front, the women's team finally get off a snide and get a big win against Iowa State, 78-77. Biggest difference of this ball game, what did not happen for Iowa State. They could not bottle up Gabby Gregory in this game. Like he did in Ames, they had a complete game plan to take her out, let someone else let somebody else from the K-State basketball team, like one of the Glenn twins, Sandell beat you. Gabby Gregory had only 9 points in that game in Ames. Last night, had 27 and 2 rebounds and added 2 assists. Boy, they let her loose. And Gabby was foaming at the mouth and took complete advantage of that. And also another great game from Jalen Glenn with 17. And Sandell, I think, had 14 or 15. I can't remember off the top of my head. I know I said it in the postcast. But 14 points. Yep. So you get help. And Jeff Mitty leading heavily on his starters. And, of course, Emily Everett, who comes off the bench as well. So definitely Jeff Mitty leading more and more heavily on his veteran ladies on his basketball team. This was a gigantic win to keep their NCAA. This is a quad one win for sure, no, without a doubt. Keep their somewhat NCAA tournament hopes kind of floating for a time being. But this was huge for multiple reasons. Obviously, we talked about the mental game last couple weeks on this podcast. And I'm wondering, is this the turning point of the season where, okay, we can play with anybody in the country? Even Gabby said it a couple weeks, game ago, when they lost last week. She still has confidence in his team. And Gabby's been an all-star all year long for K-State since coming over from OU, transferring in from Norman. So she's been, you know what you're going to get by now with number 12. That's his playing symbol there. It's everyone else. Can they play up the standards, right? And last night, they did that. They were down a bigger dozen in the second quarter. And then they started to chip away. Their defense started to show up, turn Iowa State over in the game, and it paid dividends for this team. Can this be the turning point moving forward? Obviously, when you look at the women's side of the bracket, standings-wise, K-State's still sitting ninth, right? You still have the rest of your opponents. And as you've been talking about, Alex, the schedule favors K-State, right? So now you have to go on the road where you have not won in conference play, like I've been mentioning last several weeks on the postcast edition of the Pro Project Podcast there. As I switch my tab over. Yeah, so you got Texas Tech on the road, which blitzed you in Bramlage with no defense there. And then, can't remember off the top of my head who they have, but I know they have Lubbock here. Let's see. And then, oh, by the way, that game is on Sunday. Yeah, K-State, Texas Tech. That's going to be a 1 o'clock tip in Lubbock there. As K-State will look, they need a winning streak, like I talked about in the postcast coming out. Yeah, they in the most worst possible way. They needed the winning streak. So, okay, I got it up now. So, if you can get Tech, which is a spot ahead of you in the standings, one game back, if you can get them, okay, so what's next? Then me and the fam actually will be at the Oklahoma game, the Gabby Gregory game, next weekend, coming up on February 12th. So that's a huge game.
It's an Eddie appearance again.
Yeah, so me and the fam will be back for a second women's game of the campaign. So that's going to be a good game right there. A chance for K-State to make some hay there. And then you have Oklahoma, then Baylor on that following Wednesday. Then you got to go to TCU. TCU, the worst league team in the league. but you get KU at
home.
Yeah. You get KU at home. So you get that game at home. Then K-State, you got to go to Morgantown, where you should have beat West Virginia early in the year, right? In the finish up, K-State goes on the road to Norman and Texas, the leaders. So both the men and women's basketball teams of Texas lead the respective Big 12 standings, right? So you get Texas to close out Big 12 play. So, again, circling back to this game right here. Iowa State last night. Can this be the turning point for this team? Everything is still sort of kind of out there for this team to get a better seating in the Big 12, possibly make up some hay a little bit for their NCAA tournament hopes there. But a huge win last night, and they need to start, they need to collect some wins in a row.
They do. They really do, Eddie. You mentioned it what exactly what I was going to say about this Ohio State game. Great that they were able to get it. Ohio State's ranked 12th in the country. Being able to win that game is crazy. But maybe it's something about State Iowa, man. I don't know. Maybe teams in State Iowa, they can get them. But what can you do? What do you do with it? Like, what are you going to do with that? With that momentum? With that mojo you got, you know, because you got to do something with it. You're in that position. And I got to say, before I get into this, I was watching Iowa play Maryland in women's basketball before the podcast. And I was watching Iowa, who's ranked 6th, and Maryland, who's 8th, and Iowa win a comfortable game. And Caitlin Clark dropped 42 points, I believe. That was the number. And I was just sitting there watching it, thinking, how did K-State beat this team?
Yeah, I know, yeah, yeah.
I don't understand how K-State beat them. How did they beat them? It's wild. They're so good. They're so good, but yeah, they did. So Gabby's right. They've got it in them, right? It's in them. They beat that team, who's ranked in the top 5. They beat Iowa State, who's ranked 12.
Yeah,
they've got it.
Yeah, that mentioned. You know what I mean? Yeah, mentioned real quick. Yeah, yeah, you mentioned that. I just now thought about that. We swept the K-State women's basketball team. Swept the state of Iowa. I just now thought about
that.
Wow.
We did. And let's not forget, we also went up to Milwaukee, and we beat Wisconsin by 14 points. You know, I mean, like that happened. Like that was a thing that happened. Now, I'm going to be 100% honest. I don't know how good Wisconsin women's basketball is, but I know Wisconsin is a Power 5 program, and you were on the road. You weren't at home. So that's what the K-State did. You know, you win that game in Milwaukee. You were able to do that. Now, Clemson stinks. I do know. So,
yeah, Clemson, they suck.
I'm not going to sit up here and rev about beating them by 38 points. But I will rev a little bit about you know what they did, being able to beat Houston and being able to compete with South Dakota State. I know it sounds silly saying compete with South Dakota State, but
yeah, that's one of the top teams. Yeah, that's one good team.
Yeah, that's a good team. And K-State was right there with them. Again, wasn't in Braylon that game. It was actually in Kansas City.
Yep.
You know, K-State was there. So, K-State got it in them. You know what I mean? It's in there. And that's part of why when we've seen them go in this funk, we're like, hey, this is mental. Like, this is a mental thing for them. Like, they should not be losing at home to West Virginia. You know, they should not be losing at home to, who was it, Oklahoma State? I know they beat Oklahoma State at home. Sorry, it wasn't Oklahoma State. It was Texas Tech. You shouldn't be losing by 20 at home to Texas Tech. Like, that shouldn't be happening on this team.
Yeah. And that was puzzling. You know, yeah, that was puzzling there.
Yeah, it was puzzling. And you know, it's like that's something that shouldn't be happening. And so now you've got a shot to go on the road. Against that Texas Tech opponent, and see if you can kind of turn the tide. Because again, you know, Texas—they're good, they're okay, but they're nothing to write home about. Like they really aren't. And like you can get that game, you know, you can get that game. So you need to do that. And you mentioned it with the schedule. I think part of what's you have to do it for a couple of reasons, in my opinion. Go beat Tech. Number one, you got to string a winning streak together, like you mentioned. Number two, you got to win a game on the road. You got to get a road game on your belt. Like, it's going to happen. It's got to happen, Eddie. It's got to happen at some point. And the third reason is, yes, I understand their next two games are at home, but they are against Oklahoma and Baylor, two top half teams. Both have some really good players. Those are going to be tough. That's going to be tough. And so if you want a chance to string something together, you know, it's going to be tough to do against those teams. So if you lose to Texas Tech, you could be positioning yourself in, and you could be positioning yourself for another losing streak, potentially, Eddie, if things break wrong. And so that is kind of where they're at. But if you can, again, go to Tech, maybe you can split that home series, or that little home series, the home of Baylor, then, you know, you're going the road to TCU, you go home against KU, and you go on the road against West Virginia. Like, that is a winnable three-game stretch, you know? And so, it's, again, this is just about can you string something together? And you've got to be able to do that. So, that's the hope, Eddie. That's the hope. We'll see if they can do it or not. But I will echo what you said. Kudos to Gabby Gregory, 27 points, 9-14 from the field. Was fantastic, 6-7 from the free throw line. Shot over 50% from three. Did a really nice job. Glenn Twins combined for, what was it, 23? They combined for another 23 in there, too. And then you mentioned Sundell with 14. And K-State ended up shooting about 50%. It was right around 50% from the field, just a hair under 50%. But they were right in that ballpark. So they shot the ball a lot better. 8-20 from three, again, a lot better. 16-20 from the line, so 75% from the line. So, I mean, they just shot the basketball better. That was big for them. They seemed to do that. And I think you mentioned what maybe was most encouraging thing. They got down. You mentioned Baker's Dozen, and they didn't fold. They fought back against a really good team and were able to go into the locker room. I guess they were losing, but it was only a four-point game. You know, you cut that thing down to four going into the locker room, and then you come out and you regain the lead in the third. So maybe that's a sign that you're over that mental hurdle. Because it takes a lot of mental fortitude to be able to do that against a team like Iowa State. So, kudos to K-State, kudos to what they did against the Cyclones, and we'll see if they can string together a run.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast Weekly with Eddie Greer and Alex Aiden.
Yep, that is for sure. And oh, by the way, yeah, they were down against Iowa State. Again, they won, came back and won, and then they were down a couple times in that thrilling game last semester against fourth-ranked Iowa, yeah. So, yeah, it's still mind-blowing that you look back at that, like, how does this team beat top five teams? Like, that is crazy. The way that the
kid, with that player.
With that type of player.
With Kaitlyn Clark. It's like, what? How?
She is definitely going to be, if she does decide to go to the next level, she's going to be definitely top five type of player drafted.
Oh,
for
yeah.
Sure.
100%.
Whew, what a player. Houston Cougars that we beat. Got some of that here. They're from the American. They're sitting conference-wise. They are tied for third, 5-3. This is the K-State women's team that they beat, 8-13. Yeah. A weird record, overall record. 8-13, Houston. Oof. So that's there. Clemson, 4-8 in the conference, ACC. But, hey, look at this, though. Clemson.
That's better than I thought they were.
Clemson, though. Overall record, 13-11 overall. So,
Well, you beat them by 38 points. So
yeah, you crushed them. Yeah,
feel pretty good.
Yeah, you beat them to a pulp. So that was good. And then here, Wisconsin, they're the worst team. 2-9 in the conference. 7-16.
Maybe flop a little bit when I say Wisconsin and Clemson. So
yeah.
Wisconsin, and don't write home about the fact that they beat them by 14 in Milwaukee, but get really excited that they beat Clemson by 38 in the Virgin Islands, I believe it was.
Yeah, Virgin Islands. Yep, that was that. So that was the non-con for Jeff Minnie and the women's team. There,
38. Think about that. You beat a 13-11. Power 5 school by 38 points away from Breamlink. Wild. I just look at it. It's crazy.
You would
never think when in their losing streak that happened.
Mm, yeah, that's crazy stuff there. Also, K-State goes on the road against Texas Tech. That's a play for K-game in Lubbock, 1 o'clock Central Time on Sunday. And then they got a week, pretty much a week off until that Oklahoma game, which Oklahoma, by the way, is ranked 20th in women's NCAA rankings as we record this podcast. So there's pretty much a good chance that they'll still be ranked in. I'll throw in the case they will have a week off to prepare for OU. So I'll throw that in there as a circle of that one. If they can get the game at Texas Tech, you have some momentum. And then you get rested up, get ready for Oklahoma. So this is a big game right here for the Cats to get. And, yeah, you can't get steamrolled at home like that, what they did against Texas Tech. So hopefully they can get some revenge and take some of that momentum, that home cooking to Lubbock. And let's get a win against the Lady Raiders on Sunday afternoon. And last, a final note here on Gabby. I recorded a daily already on this, which will be coming out on Sunday. So you'll find out more on this. Gabby Gregory is now in the top 10, or a top 10 candidate, I should say, for the, what was it, the Ann Myers Drysdale Award, which will be handed out to the best shooting guard in the country. So K-State Nation, the voting is open. Yeah, the voting is open. Go to HoopsHallAwards.com for more information. And yeah, there is a vote. There is a ballot out right now. You can vote for your favorite players. So K-State Nation, I'm talking to you guys. I am for the people. That's Alex has to say on this podcast.
Yeah.
Hoop Hall.
You're a person of the people. First yep. for the people.
Yes, yes, sir. HoopHallAwards.com. All of it lowercase. All of it lowercase. HoopHallAwards.com. Go check the ballot out and go vote for Gabby to get to the top five. So, and I already listed, already named the players on that pot, on that daily, which will be coming out on Sunday prior to the Tech game. So, congratulations to Gabby. So, I wanted to mention that here on the weekly pod before we reach the weekend. So, wanted to get that out there as well. So, yeah.
echoed from this side, from the West Coast.
Absolutely. And one final thing here before we close this edition of Pro Project Podcast, episode 143. Eddie Greer, Alex Zane for the Pro Project Podcast, all things K-State. Back to the schedule of football. That came out, obviously, a main topic, a huge topic for your defending champion, Big 12 champions of football, Chris Klieman and the K-State Wildcats got their schedule out earlier this week, and there are a couple of notables, or you can say, on this upcoming schedule. There is no Oklahoma. I was bummed about that. Damn it. There's none of them. I wanted to get them before they left, but apparently they got scared.
Well, I mean, maybe you get them in 2024 if they're still here, although DUI did say it sounded like they would not make a trip to Manhattan, even if they were still here in 2024. So, boo.
Yeah, boo for them. But so
I guess they're probably thrilled. They're like, hell no, Yeah. They fear K-State. We strike the fear of K-State in them.
Yeah, that's right. So seven home games on the 2023 campaign for your Big 12 champion 2022 K-State Wildcats there. They'll open up the season with Southeast Missouri. September 2nd at home. Then they'll stay here, and then they'll welcome back Southern. They're going to welcome back a familiar opponent in non-con Sunbelt and the Curve Bowl champion, Troy, coming in here to Manhattan there. Yeah. That's going to be an interesting game there. And then, of course, wrapping up the non-con with Missouri, going over there to good old Columbia. Hopefully we'll cook them. On September 16th, and then the home opener. We're going to open up Big 12 at home instead of away. That's another notable there.
That's rare.
It is. UCF, the new member, one of the new members of the Big 12. We're going to get them. I knew we were going to get them. I was pretty confident we'll get them either away or here at home. So it turns out we're going to be starting off Big 12 here against them, opening up our Big 12 defense there against them. We get the other Oklahoma State team, and it's a Friday game in Stillwater.
Yeah, that's it. What do you think of the Friday? Do you like the Friday night in front of that lights thing?
I am not sure right now, to be honest with you. I don't. That's kind of weird.
You don't know how you feel about that yet? Okay.
I don't know how I feel about that yet. I don't.
Friday night action. K-State under the lights in early October.
Yep. And then you go to Lubbock, that dreaded trip to Lubbock to play Texas Tech.
They're going
to
be good. Tech is going to be good this year, too.
Oh, they're going to be tough. I think they can surprise a lot of people. They're going to be really good.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think they might be in the top 25, honestly, when it comes out next year. They're pretty good. And they finished strong, beating Ole Miss.
Yes, sir.
They beat
Ole Miss really good. Yep, they did.
They beat them bad. Yeah.
Yep.
And honestly, they finished fourth. They ended up finishing fourth, but the people don't realize that. They finished fourth in the Big 12 last year. Like they were not. They took a step. They took a jump.
Yeah, and they played K-State pretty good here in Manhattan this past year.
Oh, they did, yeah.
So
they had to be quite nervous.
That's the game, and of course Lubbock. You know Lubbock's one of those tough places to play as well. So.
Tough place to play. Yeah.
October 21st. The Big 12 rematch, championship rematch with TCU here in Manhattan, the 21st. And then the other new member of the Big 12, Houston, will come calling. Good former old Dana Holgorsen, former coach of West Virginia, coming back to the Big 12.
I'll make up for West Virginia not being on the schedule. So you get a little, little West Virginia.
Yes, sir. That makes up for that. Yep, definitely, for sure. And then in November stretch here, you got to go on the road to Texas, November 4th. Then Then November 11th, you got Baylor at home this upcoming fall at home. And then you go to Lawrence, November 18th, there as well, where K-State rides a rivalry record 14 consecutive against KU going into Lance Leipold's house. In Memorial Stadium, where the porty potties need to be working over there.
Yep.
And then finish up with Farmageddon this upcoming fall. November 25th, Iowa State comes here to Manhattan to wrap things up. And we remember that game from this past year there. That was an ugly game, but we came out on top there 10-9 in that ball game.
Oh, boy, was it. Oh, man.
Oh. So,
it's like pulling teeth watching that game.
I listened to that game on the radio. I was out of town, so I wasn't unable to watch the game. So I listened to
Stadium. Consider yourself lucky.
Yes.
Consider yourself lucky.
Yeah, that was a barn burner, but we got away with one there. So that's kind of a basic look. I'm sure we'll go over this again when football season comes back in fall there as well. Alex, your initial thoughts to the 2023 schedule here for the Big 12 champs, K-State.
Initial thoughts, Eddie, are what is weird with no Oklahoma on the schedule. That's the first thing. It was one of the first things I did was look for Oklahoma. I'm like, oh, they're not on here. Oh, okay. I heard DUI talk a little bit about, how he felt like, this home schedule is a little underwhelming. I don't know. I don't feel that way. I really don't. I understand that maybe some people think that. I'm excited for the new members, personally. I'm excited.
Yeah.
To see UCF, right? I mean, you see UCF in the bill. To see Houston in the bill. Maybe it's just me, but, I'm excited for those games against new opponents. That's something that actually kind of juices me up. Maybe I'm in the minority, but based on what I've heard, I don't think I am in the minority. I think a lot of people are excited for the new matchups. And
Something fresh,
definitely. And next year, since K-State has both of the home games against UCF and Houston, next year they'll probably visit a couple. They'll probably go on the road, and I'm excited for that, too. I'm excited to potentially go to BYU. Or to go to the Bounce House in UCF, although they may not go there. But maybe you're going to Cincinnati. I'm excited for that as well when it comes. But, I mean, just, again, looking at the schedule, that was one of the first things I was curious about was, what new teams are we going to play? So I was excited to see we're opening with UCF at home. Number one, I was excited to get a home game at home. When did that happen to get a Big 12 play? And then to do it against UCF, I just thought that I think it's cool. Maybe I'm in the minority, but I think that's a cool way to open Big 12 play. It's something new, different, and UCF, Eddie, they're going to be juiced. That's going to be their first Big 12 game.
Like, yes, sir. Yes, it juiced. Is.
They're going to be ready to go. So you're going to get their A game. And UCF's good. Like, they're a good football
team. They've been good for the last several years.
They've been good for a long time. They've been a top 25 caliber football team. For a handful of years, they were a top 25 caliber team last year. They played in the championship game against Tulane, ironically enough, in the American last year. So they'll be a challenge. Like, I don't think that's going to be a gimme game. I like Casey's chances of them, but I don't think it's going to be a gimme game. Looking at it, Eddie, I think that was exciting. And I think the non-cons is going to be interesting because Troy, that's a top 25 team as well. People don't realize that either, some people, but Troy was ranked in the top 25 to end the season. Most of the projected polls have them in the top 25. So that K-State-Troy game is probably going to be a top 25 matchup, which is crazy. Who would have thought? I guarantee you K-State didn't think that when they put that on the schedule, but that's probably what it's going to be. Yeah, it's probably not going to be K-State-Missouri as a top 25 matchup. It's probably going to be K-State-Troy. So get your tickets to be at the Bill. Week 2 for your top 25 matchup, Kansas State Wildcats against the Troy Trojan. So, and then going to Mizzou, you mentioned that. That's just going to be nostalgic. Just nostalgic going there. So, obviously excited for that. And it's just a really intriguing non-conference schedule. I just think when you have Troy, who's ranked in the top 25 potentially, and then you go to Mizzou, and that's interesting. I think the Big 12 schedule is excited for that. You end the season with your two kind of football rivals, which I think is cool. But you got the Friday night game. We mentioned that against Oklahoma State. That's going to be different. Going on the road on a Friday night, I don't know if Casey's ever done that before. So that'll be – they've done the Thursday night one, but I don't know if they've done Friday night. And then I think really the final takeaway for me is there's a couple hard patches. You go – on the road to Texas Tech, and then you come home against TCU. That's going to be a tough little pocket there. You go on the road to Texas, and you come home against Baylor, and that's going to be another tough little pocket. But you don't have a spot here on the schedule where it's like Tech, TCU, Texas, Baylor. It's like they're not lumped all together. So, I kind of like the way that it's spaced out. I think it was Cole Manbeck who said he's like, I feel like K-State's got a good shot at running the table at home. I do too. I think TCU is obviously going to be difficult, but there's a lot of question marks around them. But the toughest teams, you're playing them on the road, I think. I think that Texas Tech's going to be one of the toughest teams. You're playing them on the road. I think Texas is going to be one of the toughest teams. You're playing them on the road. I do think the Baylor will bounce back and they'll be better. So, I mean, that'll be a tough game. Obviously, TCU will be tough. I think that the opportunity is there to potentially go undefeated at home. At the end of the day, do I think that they go undefeated at home? Probably not. They probably drop one somewhere. But, looking at the schedule, it kind of reaffirms what I thought, Eddie. I think that this is a team that can be a 9-3 caliber football team. Maybe it's a team that falls in between the 8-4 to 10-2. Range, based with what they've got coming in next year and a schedule that I don't think is quite going to be on the level that it was last year. I think last year's schedule probably was end up being a little tougher than this year's schedule just because you got Oklahoma and Texas on the schedule. Granted, they did beat Oklahoma, but you got both of them on the schedule. The Big 12 was so deep, and you're just playing this round robin, and now you're integrating in your UCF and Houston and taking a couple of Big 12 teams off the schedule. So I think the schedule's a little, just a tad bit easier. But again, it's so early to say what will be. But I'm excited. So I've heard a couple people say I'm a little underwhelmed by it. I'm not underwhelmed at all by it. I'm excited for it. I think it's going to be fun. I think it's a fun schedule. Like I said, Troy, that's going to be an interesting game week too. And Mizzou, a couple of new schools, got a Friday night game in there. Couple rivalry games to end it. Bring it on.
Yep, bring it on indeed, baby. Bring it on indeed. Coming fall 2023, this fall, the defending Big 12 champion, K-State, your K-State Wildcats, will open the 2023 campaign September 2nd officially and being their official Big 12 title defense against new Big 12 opponent UCF home game September 23rd. there as well. So a lot to look forward to. Yes, it's a little early, but I like it. I like it. Definitely.
I hate the bye, though. I hate the bye. I that's one thing I do hate. I hate the bye after week four. I don't like that. I heard a couple of me people mention that, but you have to play 8 games in a row at the end of the season. I'm not a fan of that. But you know what? What can you do?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I just now realized that. Yeah, the bye is
early. It's really early. I wish it was later. I really wish it was later. Because you're going to have injuries, right? And you're not going to have a week off to be able to regroup when the injuries happen. I wish it fell like after like Tech or TCU, you know? But, what can you do?
Yeah. We'll definitely discuss that. Yeah, definitely different from last year there where I think the bye was in the middle, somewhere in the middle of the week.
Yeah, I think it was after the 7th game or something.
Yeah, so.
It was like 3 weeks later.
Yeah, so we'll definitely discuss when that time comes, more of the schedule, when we get down to this fall of K-State football, when Nat resumes, obviously, Avery Johnson and a new class of the historical recruiting class just getting started with their workouts. I need to finish listening to that podcast there with Avery and the Power Cat podcast with he and Fitz and Ryan Wallace there as well. So he's already getting busy there. He's already enrolled, getting some work done. And the process begins for Avery Johnson and the rest of that recruiting class there. Very anxious to see where that trend is going to go. I'm really excited. Really excited about that.
I'm definitely excited about that as well. It's going to be really exciting. You know, we didn't touch on this. You mentioned recruiting. I didn't think about it. Thad Ward out at wide receiver coach. Tough loss for K-State. We'll see who they replace him with. We'll be interested to see. BYU did say he didn't think it will affect any of the commits, so hopefully that does end up being true. You mentioned Avery with on the pod. He is settled in into Manhattan, and he's ready to roll. And I think we're all ready to roll, man, at this point. So historic recruiting class coming in, and we got some good transfers coming in. And who knows? You know, K-State may dip in and get a couple more before the season as well. And the 2024 recruits are already starting to trickle in. As they've got, they had two more people commit, players commit in the 2024 class. They got a quarterback who committed on the 19th, named Blake Barnett from Colorado, Erie, Colorado. And then they got Ryan Howard, Will Howard's brother, actually, who committed on the 27th. He's an offensive tackle from Pennsylvania, because Will Howard's from Pennsylvania as well. So K-State's already got their first 3 commits for 2024, and that's exciting. It's exciting for them and exciting for that recruiting. So they're kind of off and running early on. But I'm excited for the football season, Eddie. But which crazy? It's February. I mean, think about this, Eddie. Spring ball's gonna be here in month and a half. It's right around the corner, man. It's right around the corner.
Yep, the revolving door of sports here in Manhattan does not stop, indeed. And oh, by the way, tickets for the home schedule 2023 that we just talked about now on sale. It went on sale yesterday. So as we're sitting here wrapping up this podcast, episode 143 of the Pro Project Podcast Weekly. So season tickets are on sale now, K-State Nation. So definitely go check that out as well. Alex. Man, we covered a lot of K-State sports on this podcast. Any final thoughts here before we wrap this up?
You know, Eddie, not really. I do want to just quickly let you know that that we made our picks last week. I think I went 2-0 and you went 0-2 in our championship picks.
And you had to bring that up.
So I had to get that one. I had to get that one in. As a Chiefs fan, I'm so relieved to beat the Bills. I was sitting there thinking, I swear, if we lead the entire game again and cough this thing up, I'm going to be so pissed off. And they did not. They did not do that. So that was a relief. And the Eagles, I mean, let's just be honest, man. I mean, there's no way they're going to lose that game with what happened to the 49ers. The Brock Purdy tearing his UCL or rupturing it, and then with their four-string quarterback getting knocked out with concussion, and then a quarterback who could throw the football. It was a complete mess for the 49ers. So the Eagles cruised, and we got the Super Bowl Chiefs-Eagles. So a Chiefs fan excited about that. And then, Eddie, I will say this. The president of the K-State Alumni Association is visiting San Diego. Not that this impacts anyone, but just so everyone knows. Is visiting San Diego a week from Friday. So I have RSVP'd. I have RSVP'd for the mixer, for the social mixer, and we'll be there with other K-Staters here in San Diego for the alumni get together while the presidents come to visit San Diego. So that's a week from Friday. I'm excited to see some other K-Staters. There is a K-State group in San Diego, and I have gone and watched games with them before from time to time. This is actually an actual like event put on by the Alumni Association with the president coming out here. So I'm really excited to see some fellow K-Staters out here on the West Coast. So I might have to go out to tell them about the Pro Project podcast. I might have to do a little promotion.
Yeah, you need to do it. Do it. Yeah, do it. Yeah.
Might have to get a little promotion on the sign. So, I'm excited about that. It's in a horrible location, so I will have to be fighting rush hour to try to get there. But I am indeed excited to see some fellow K-Staters out here on the West Coast. Because we go coast to coast, Eddie. We've got a following that is coast to coast.
That's right, coast to coast, indeed, for sure. We got a Midwest following. We got a strong Midwest following. And we got a coast-to-coast following as well. We got people out there in your neck of the woods. We got people out there on the east side neck of the woods. And, of course, a strong following in the Midwest about the Purple Project podcast. One other thing here I'll throw in here real quick before we wrap this up here with our Twitter handles here. Ribbon-cutting ceremony set up for Shamrock, officially for the Shamrock Practice Facility. Right next to Bill Snyder Family Stadium will be prior to the men's basketball game, the Stripe Out game, folks. This podcast will be out tomorrow. So definitely, if you listen to this, you guys should listen to this before going to the Texas game. It will be prior to the Texas game. Short little ceremony. It will start at 1:30 Central Time. Ribbon cutting ceremony, if I can talk myself, of the Shamrock Practice Facility begins at 1:30 Saturday. And then, of course, attend that K-State Nation and then go to the Texas game to get even more excited for the basketball game. Looks like the Big 12 Commissioner will be in town this weekend for that.
We got Brett Yormark in town. Okay.
Yep, yes sir. And apparent to the notes,
K-State fans, you gotta show him what the Octagon of Doom is like. I mean, everybody in the Octagon of Doom has to show Brett Yormark what it is about.
Yep, and also Joe Klineman, defensive coordinator for K-State football team, will also lead the way along with some other donors as well who set up this Shamrock Practice Facility project as well. So, again, ribbon-cutting ceremony, the opening ceremony for the Shamrock Practice Facility, right, again, K-State Nation, for those who don't know, right next, literally, cannot miss it. You cannot miss it. It's right next.
It's impossible. Yeah. Like, it is impossible to miss it.
Built right next to
both sides. You'll be looking for your parking spot and be like, where did it go? And it's because of Shamrock. Football field exactly. On top of where I used to park.
So you're looking for that old park spot you're looking for. It's been taken massively by this Shamrock Practice Facility. Beautiful, beautiful facility. Officially, it will be ribbon cutting time on Saturday, 1:30 Central Time. And then, of course, that's an hour and a half ahead of tip-off between 10th-ranked Texas and 7th-ranked K-State. It's going to be a big Saturday.
I believe you get a tour it as well. I'm pretty sure I heard Gene say on Ask the AD with Ryan Spoller that fans will actually be able to like, walk around in there too and like get to check it out.
Yeah, and also the current. You talked about the former president of K-State going to be in San Diego. The current president, obviously, Richard Linton, will also be in attendance along with, of course, Gene, athletic director here at K-State, Gene Taylor. So big guns coming out on Saturdays. So definitely wanted to get that in there before we wrap this up. So a monstrous edition of the Purple Project Podcast, episode 143 in the books. Big weekly show here. Wrapped up again, K-State Nation, Purple Project Podcast listeners. You know what to do. Subscribe. If you're listening for the first time, you love what you're hearing, definitely subscribe to the Purple Project Podcast there. You want to keep up with all things K-State. And finally, if you have a question, a comment about this podcast, DM's open. Again, mine is at Eddie_EG3. We want to hear from the listeners. A chance for you guys to be on the podcast, a future weekly edition of the podcast. Alex, what is your Instagram?
My Instagram and Twitter are the same thing. I don't know. So they are at AFA. C-H-T-E-N. That is A-F-A. C-H-T-E-N. And with my Twitter, you will get everything you can think of in regards to content. I think the last thing I tweeted, I believe it was a retweet. It was a retweet 3 years ago today. The Chiefs won Super Bowl 54. And so I retweeted that on this day tweet. So that's the last thing on my Twitter. I also believe, actually the last thing I might have retweeted might have been Ryan Clark taking a shot at Dylan Brooks of the Memphis Grizzlies. I think that might have been the last thing, because Dylan Brooks, I don't know if you saw this, Eddie, but right before we got on, there was a huge brawl between the Cavaliers and the Grizzlies, because the Grizzlies can never shut up. They just run their mouths like crazy. And Dylan Brooks, who, as many of us know, kind of got into a little spat with Shannon Sharp in L.A. in a Lakers game. he was getting into it with Donovan Mitchell, and they said Donovan Mitchell was the instigator, but I saw Dylan Brooks hit him in the crotch, so I probably would piss me off too. And he threw the ball at him, and then a brawl just started. And the brawl was just like moving into the cameras, the crowd behind the basket, and then Ryan Clark makes fun of Dylan Brooks. So I retweeted that. So I think that's maybe the last tweet as well. But that's the type of stuff you'll get on my Twitter feed.
I did actually watch that before calling.
Oh, did you?
Yep. So I saw, what happened here? So I clicked on it and watched the video. I'm like, yeah, that says about that.
that was not just like your push and shove and I'm gonna like just kind of like bark at you. I mean, no, it was literally like I'm throwing the ball at you, and then Dylan Brooks got up and was like, wait, it's time to brawl. Like, it's fine.
Yeah,
by the throw down, they were ready to go, but Dylan Brooks, I'm sorry, Shannon Sharp would have broken you in half, broken you in half in LA if you wanted to get, you know, I don't advise you to go towards Shannon Sharp and his cardigan that he was wearing. That's that combo.
Yeah. I am 100% agree with you there. You don't want to mess with Shannon Sharp, baby. You do not want to do that.
No.
As well, but
not advised.
No, and kudos really to those teams there really handling that little brawl there, because it almost got out of hand a little bit there.
Yeah, that
could have been way worse than it actually looked out there. Yeah. So, but kudos to the coaching staff for calming all
and the benches. Everyone stayed on the benches. That's the other thing. That's what was crazy to me. The team did a very good job at keeping their players on the benches. I think that's probably what part of what kept it from escalating. So kudos to those assistant coaches for keeping everybody on the bench and keeping it at least isolated. How many players were out there, and it didn't turn into the mayhem at the Palace that we saw in Detroit. Ron Artest.
Oh boy!
Didn't see that. So
man, breathe a sigh of relief there as well. So. So, all right, K-State Nation, that is going to do it from us this week on episode 143 of the Purple Project Podcast. Weekly again, Alex, I'll keep you informed. We could have either one or two episodes. We'll definitely have one next week, but could have an extra one next week as well, K-State Nation. So you want to make sure you keep it locked, subscribe, do all that kind of fun stuff, K-State Nation. Alex, we will do it again next week, sir.
I look forward to it, Eddie.
Listening to the Purple Project Podcast. Make sure you're subscribed to the show wherever you get your podcasts. We'll talk to you all on the next episode of the Triple P Podcast. Go Cats!